बंदे रूप सनातन रघुजग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So yesterday we began this episode of Dhruva Maharaj and we discussed his first prayer. Yontaha pravishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevayati khila shakti dharasvadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravana tvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So when the Supreme Lord manifested in front of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva was feeling little awkward because although he wanted to offer prayers to the Lord, he did not have the necessary experience or vocabulary or Sanskrit grammar to offer the prayers to the Lord. So considering his awkward situation and his desire to offer prayers, the Lord empowered him by touching his conch shell on his forehead. So as soon as Dhruva Maharaj received the touch, he was bestowed with all the Shastric conclusions and all the Vedic knowledge so that he can offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord. So first he said, "My dear Lord, you have enlivened all my senses. So far my senses were sleeping." Right? Yo antaha pravishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam. Mama vacha, my ability to speak has been sleeping and you have just you woke it up, right? So sanjeevayati akhila shakti dhara swadhamnam, you are the reservoir or abode of all shaktis and by your own potency, your own shakti, you have bestowed upon me the ability to glorify you. And not only my power of speech was enlivened, my other senses are also enlivened. Anyamsa hasta charana shravana tvagadin. So this is about spiritual enlightenment, which happens by the action of spiritual energy. So the spiritual energy of the Lord enlivens the senses of devotees. Then what does the material energy of the Lord do? So that is explained in the next verse. The job profile of the material energy or external potency of the Lord is explained in the next verse.
Ekastameva bhagavan idam
atmashakya
mayakshayoru gunaya mahadajya sesham సృష్ట్వానువిశ్య పురుషస్తద సద్గుణేషు నానేవ దారుషు విభావసుద వసువద్ విభాసి.
హియర్ హీ ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ఏకస్త్వమేవ భగవన్. మై డియర్ లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ వన్, యు ఆర్ వన్ సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. బట్ ఇదం ఆత్మశక్త్యా, ఆత్మశక్తి మీన్స్ మై లార్డ్స్ ఓన్ పొటెన్సీ. వాట్ పొటెన్సీ ఈ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్? ఎర్లియర్ హీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ దట్ వన్ పొటెన్సీ, దట్ ఈస్ స్పిరిచువల్ పొటెన్సీ స్వధామ్న. నౌ హీ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఎనదర్ పొటెన్సీ, దట్ ఈస్ మాయాఖ్యయోరు గుణయ మహదాద్య చేషం. ఎనదర్ పొటెన్సీ ఇస్ మాయా పొటెన్సీ, ఎక్స్టర్నల్ పొటెన్సీ. యాక్చువల్లీ బోత్ ఆర్ వన్, బట్ ఫర్ డిఫరెంట్ పర్పజెస్ ది మేనిఫెస్ట్ సపరేట్లీ. Right, Lord's potency is one. Lord is one, his potency is one, but his potency manifests in different ways for different purposes. So one is spiritual potency that enlivens the senses of devotees. Second is maya, maya akhyaya. Maya akhyaya means that potency which is known as maya, external energy. So gunaya mahadadyasesham, this external potency of the Lord is composed of three material modes, gunaya, mahadadyasesham, and that energy, external potency, also consists of these external elements, mahatattva and all these elements. So srishtvanu vishya purushad tadasad guneshu. And why the Lord manifests this external potency? For srishti, for the creation of this material world. So Lord's external potency manifests this material universe, and then the Lord enters that universe. Purushastha sadguneshu naneva. So from the body of Mahavishnu, from his bodily pores, millions of universes will come out. They're all manifestations of his external potency. And that Mahavishnu expands himself as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu and enters each of those universes. That point is explained here. So he is, the Lord enters each universe as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu. How he enters? Naneva darushu vibhava suvad vibhasi. Daru means wood. So different wooden pieces are of different shapes. The fire element is same. But when one wooden piece, when one firewood is lit with fire, that fire may have certain shape. Another firewood, so that it may be smaller. So the fire is little smaller. And the very big log you take and then lit it with fire, it will become too big. So depending on the quality of the wood, the size of the fire and the flames of the fire will manifest. Similarly, the Lord also enters all the universes, and in fact all the different atoms and living entities also, and acts differently. By his own one shakti, he acts differently according to whom he is dealing with, according to what he is dealing with, like that. So Lord's potency is one that manifests in varieties of ways, just like fire is one that manifests in varieties of wood. So that is mentioned here. So you are supreme one, but by your energy, atma shakti called maya, composed of gunas, you create the universe, and as super soul you enter this material senses, right? Material world he enters, materialistic living entities he enters, and their senses also he would enter, and then make them function in certain ways depending on their desire and their disposition. So different manifestations of Lord's one energy are mentioned here, especially material energy here. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, Dhruva Maharaj understood that the energy and the energetic are same. So far he was unable to just speak few words also. He wanted to offer prayers, but he did not have the vocabulary or knowledge to even express himself. But now he understood the creation chart. I mean, Vidyapit or whatever, any Bhagavatam student may take a while to understand the second canto and third canto, how the Lord expands himself as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu and enters each universe, and how the universe manifests in itself. It comes out in a small form, pradhana. It transforms into mahatattva. It transforms into false ego. False ego in three modes manifests 23 elements. And all these 20, the presiding deities of all these elements, tattvas, offer prayers to Mahavishnu. And Lord sends his cohesive energy, Bibhrat Shakti, for the amalgamation of all these 23 elements so that the universal fetus may be formed. And once the universe is formed, Lord will enter the universe as Garbhodakasa Vishnu and manifests Virat Rupa. And then Brahmaji takes birth from his lotus, from the lotus that comes from his navel. And Brahmaji manifests these 14 planetary systems. And then so many various other, say 84 lakh species are formed. So many demigod planets and many other planetary systems are manifested. So we may take a while to understand this whole process, but just by the touch of Lord's conch shell, Dhruva Maharaj understood everything when he was 5 years old, and with a background of 6 months of devotional service. So if Krishna wants, he can reveal the entire Vedic knowledge and conclusion of scriptures within a moment, right? So what might take several years for one to understand might be bestowed to him within a moment if the Lord is merciful. So our ability to understand Shastra is not our ability. It is bestowed by the Supreme Lord, right? We cannot attribute the credit for understanding Shastra to our own selves, because it is the Lord's mercy that enables anyone to read Shastra or understand Shastra or realize Shastra. If he wants, he can bestow that realization within a moment, just as he has done in Dhruva Maharaj's case. So Dhruva Maharaj could understand that energy is non-different from the energetic. So sometime back also we were discussing, without energy, there is no meaning to the energetic person. Without energetic person, there is no existence for the energy only. Thus, energy and energetic both are same from that perspective. And from another perspective, energy, the energy which is separated from the energetic can exist separately from the energetic person also. Prabhupada gives this example. I have spoken something, someone has recorded it, that voice, it's stored in a tape, and that is my separated energy, right? So like that, energy can exist separately from the energetic person also. At the same time, they are one also. When we are hearing a tape, we say that Prabhupada spoke like this. The tape is speaking, but Prabhupada spoke like this. Prabhupada's energy, right? So that is one with Prabhupada, at the same time separated from Prabhupada also, right? As in the form of tape. Thus, there is no difference between the energy and energetic. At the same time, there is a difference. Anything little ambiguous here, add the word achintya, right? So there are bheda vakyas in the scriptures that emphasize the difference between the Lord and his energies, and there are abheda vakyas that emphasize the non-difference between the Lord and his energies. So if we focus only on the bheda vakyas, we say dvaita. If we focus only on the abheda vakyas, we say advaita. So if we focus on both of them and reconcile them by adding the word achintya, that is achintya bheda bheda tattva, which Mahaprabhu taught us, right? So this achintya bheda bheda tattva, which is very difficult to understand, has been revealed to Dhruva Maharaj by the touch of Lord's conch. So Lord is spread all over the cosmic manifestation by his energy, which is basically spiritual, but because it acts in the material world temporarily, it is called maya and it is called illusory energy, material energy, external energy, like that. So for everyone but the devotees, the Lord's energy acts as external energy. In the case of devotees, Lord's energy will enliven their senses. Swadhamna, the previous verse is that only. Yo antah pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam. So Lord enlivens the senses and mind and intelligence of all the devotees through his internal potency, swadhamna. But by his external potency, Lord facilitates the material activities of conditioned souls. So Lord's energy is one, but it acts differently depending on the disposition of the people whom that energy is dealing with. Next verse. Tvaddatta yava yunayeda machashta visvam Supta prabuddha ivanata bhavat prapannaha Tasyapavargya sharanam tava padamulam Vismaryate kritavida kathamartha bandho Someone can read the translation.
Oh my master, Lord Brahma is fully surrendered unto you. In the beginning you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe. Just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties. You are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are distressed. How therefore can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you?
So here Dhruva Maharaj is saying that the Lord is the only shelter. So he is the shelter of multiple categories of people. According to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this verse Dhruva Maharaj speaks that describes the Lord as the shelter of three categories of people who approach him, three categories of devotees. One, Jnani Bhakta, Jignasu Bhakta and Artha Bhakta. We'll see how it is. So Tvaddattaya Vayunayeda Machashta Vishwam. Tvaddattaya means that which is given by you. Datta. Tvaddattaya. So Vayunaya means knowledge. So by the knowledge given by you, my dear Lord, Brahmaji was able to create this universe. Tvaddattaya Vayunayeda Machashta Vishwam. This Vishwam has been manifested by Brahmaji by the knowledge which is bestowed by you upon him. Right? Shupta Prabuddha Ivanata Bhavat Prapannaha. So Shupta Prabuddha means just like a man rising from sleep. So someone may be sleeping. Right? Here it is mentioned that just as a person who just gets up from his sleep visualizes his immediate duties, similarly Brahmaji just took birth on the lotus and then suddenly he was bestowed with the knowledge to create. Right, just he got up from the sleep and then he is ready for creation. Right? Where is that knowledge coming from? From Krishna only. So Tasyapavarga Sharanam, my dear Lord, you are Apavarga Sharanam. You are the shelter of transcendentalists. And Sharanam Tava Padamulam Vismaryate Kritavida Kritam Arthabandhu. So you are shelter for aspirants of liberation, there is Apavarga Sharanam, and you are also Arthabandho, friend of distressed. How can a learned person who has some buddhi can ever forget you? So here the Lord is the shelter of those who surrender unto him. Bhavat Prapannaha. If you surrender, he will give shelter. Then Arthabandho, if you are distressed, he will act like a friend. Then Apavarga Sharanam, if you are aspiring for liberation, then he will give liberation. So aspirants of liberation, second, Arthabandho, distressed people, third, one who is completely surrendered. So three categories of people are mentioned. According to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Lord gives knowledge to Jnani Bhakta to see this world. Now the whatever is mentioned in the case of Brahmaji, you can see that it is applicable to Jnani also. That means Brahmaji was given the knowledge to create this universe. Similarly, some jnanis may seek knowledge from the Lord, and for that purpose they will go to the Lord. So Lord will give them that. That is Lord's reciprocation to jnani bhaktas. Next, jignasu bhaktas are there. They seek shelter out of great curiosity. What is there at the lotus feet of the Lord? So Lord will give them shelter at his lotus feet. That is apavarga sharanam. Then some people are very distressed. So they approach the Lord to mitigate their distress. Lord will act like a friend, artha bandho. So these are the different categories of people which Krishna Chakravarti Thakur highlights in this verse. So different people, essence is different people might approach the Lord for different purposes, but the Lord will reciprocate with all of them the way they approach. Yathamam prapadyante tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. So to put it in a summary form, Yathamam prapadyante is the summary of this verse. Right? So however, why Dhrumar is saying this? At this point when he received the blessings of the Lord, darshan of the Lord, suddenly why he is remembering how the Lord reciprocates with different categories of people? Because he says that different types of people approach you, and amongst all of them, I am the lowest. Because I approached you for money. I am Artharthi Bhakta. I am not Jnani Bhakta. I am not Jignasu Bhakta. I am not Artha Bhakta. I am Artharthi. I approached you for material opulence. So with great repentance and regret, he would say this verse and the next verse. So before that, before we go to the next verse, Prabhupada writes in this purport that the more a devotee engages in devotional service, the more encouragement is supplied by the Lord. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tum yenamam upayantite. The more one approaches the Lord, the more the Lord will give him inspiration and ability to surrender to him. And whatever knowledge we have, that comes by Lord's grace only. Prabhupada elaborates on these two points. Now, ninth verse, he discusses about, Dhruva Maharaj mentions about a person who approaches the Lord for material opulence.
Nonam vimushtamatayastava mayayate yetvam bhavapyaya vimokshanamanyahe toho Archanti kalpakatarum kunapopa bhogyam Ichanti yat sparshajam niraye pinunam.
So here Dhruva is saying, Nunam vimushtamatayaha. So vimushtamatayaha means those who have lost their intelligence. Their intelligence is lost. So certainly what they do, tava maya yate, by the influence of your maya, which I mentioned in the previous verse, ye tvam, they approach you anya hetohu, for other purposes. Although you are able to give liberation, they don't approach you for liberation. Here the Lord is described as bhavapyaya vimokshanam. In the second line, Lord is described as bhavapyaya vimokshanam. You have the ability to deliver one from this material existence, but people don't approach you for that. Anya hetoho. Anya heto means for different reasons, material reasons they approach you. And archanti, they worship you for what? Kalpaka tarum. Although you are a desire tree who can give any kind of desire, these people approach you not for spiritual desires but for material desires of what? Kunapopa bhogyam. Kunapa upabhogyam. For those desires that are meant for this dead body, physical body. So to nourish their body, to gratify their body and senses, they approach you. So here the Lord is described in two ways. Number one, kalpakataru. Number two, bhavapavargyam. Bhavapyaya vimokshanam. He is like a desire tree, he can give anything. Second, he can give liberation also if you want. But people who are vimushtamatayaha, vimushtamatayaha means lost their intelligence, and tava maya yate, who are bewildered by the Lord's maya. Third, is kunapoka bhogyam, they are desiring material benedictions. And nirayepin ronam means that, nirayepin ronam means even in hell also that kind of material benedictions are available. So basically he wants to say that any material benediction is hellish only, however exalted it may be. Same thing this Prithu Maharaj also says, varam vibhota dvaradeshwara budhah katam vrinite gunavikriyatmanam ye narakanam apisanti dehinam tanish kaivalyapati vraninacha. So my dear Lord, you are varadeshwara, you are the best of all bestowers of benedictions, but I don't ask you for any material benedictions which are meant for people who are suffering in hell, who are rotting in hell. So whether someone, and what are these hellish benedictions? Apavargya. Hellish benediction is liberation, impersonal liberation. Hellish benediction is also swarga. How can swarga be called naraka? How can heavenly benediction be called hellish benediction? Because whether someone is heaven or hell, as long as he is in the material world, a pure devotee considers that position hellish from that perspective. Right? So we don't have to rename hell as heaven as hell. But devotee's perspective is whichever Abhrahma Bhavana Loka Punaravritti in Arjuna. So wherever he goes, from the topmost planetary system to the bottommost planetary system, it is all hellish only for a pure devotee. Right? So in that sense, materialistic people worship Krishna for material benedictions. Basically, this verse is about Artharthi. Dhruva Maharaj is speaking about himself. My dear Lord, I approached you. I render devotional service unto you, desiring a material benediction, desiring material opulence, with a material ambition, to sit in a position which is superior to even Brahmaji also. That is material benediction only, but still I desired like that. So he was a bit regretful, very regretful, that I am an Artharthi Bhakta, very foolish person, lowest amongst all the Sukritina Bhaktas. What is to his credit? He approached Krishna. That's wonderful. But with this mood, he approaches, he is regretting for it. So he condemns his attitude of rendering devotional service for material profit. That is due to gross lack of knowledge. Otherwise repenting. So sensuous happiness is present in the life of hawks and dogs and is insignificant. And a devotee who worships the Lord for that is considered devoid of all knowledge. Yet because he approaches the Lord, he is glorious. Because Lord will eventually remove that material aspect of his surrender and induce and inspire spiritual surrender in him eventually. But very fact that he approaches the Lord himself is glorious. So with this background, with this disposition, Dhruva Maharaj presents his realizations. First he regretted for his previous mentality, but now he is sharing his understanding and he is sharing his desires.
Yanir vritistanu bhritam tava pada padmam.
Yanir vritistanu bhritam tava pada padmam.
Dhyanat bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat.
Dhyanat bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat.
Sabrahmanishva mahimanya binathama bhut.
Sabrahmanishva mahimanya binathama bhut.
Kimtvantaka silulitat patatam vimanat.
So this is a very important verse, this and the next verse. These two are like one of the, some of the key prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, 10th and 11th. You can memorize this also.
Ya nirvritis tanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat.
Dhruva Maharaj says, dear Lord, if at all one has to achieve some bliss, nirvritti means bliss, happiness, satisfaction.
Tanubhritam, for one who is embodied, happiness can be achieved only in two ways. Ya nirvrittis tanubhritam. So, an embodied soul can achieve happiness in two ways. What are the two ways? Number one, tava pada padma dhyanat, by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Number two, bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat. Katha shravan, when he hears about the descriptions of Krishna, then he will be happy. Then he will get bliss. From whom he should hear the descriptions? Bhavajjana, from the devotees of the Lord. He is saying Krishna katha from devotees, not Krishna katha from non-devotees or from devotees any other katha. Right, combination. Hear Krishna katha from devotees, then that will be effective. That is the source of bliss. Right, tava pada padma dhyanat bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat. Then, when someone who is deriving bliss from these two things, sa brahmanishva mahimanya vinathama bhut, the ananda, brahmananda, the ananda of merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, that impersonal happiness becomes nothing in front of this happiness. The ocean of Brahmananda cannot compare even to a small drop, a small particle of the drop of Bhaktiananda. Right? The ananda of bhakti, the ananda of meditation on Krishna's lotus feet, the ananda of serving Krishna, the ananda of hearing about Krishna and his qualities from his devotees, is way beyond the ocean of Brahmananda. Right? Sa brahmanishva mahimanya binathama bhut. And if Brahmananda, the ocean of Brahmananda, becomes so insignificant in comparison to Bhaktiananda, what to speak of Swargananda? Right? That is fourth line. Kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. So people may perform so many pious activities and go to the heavenly planets,
And kim twantakasi lulitat. So they just fall down. Patatam vimanat. Vimana, airplane, may ascend into the sky. But how long does it stay in the sky? Till the fuel is exhausted. If the fuel is exhausted in the air, then he, in the sky only, he will have to collapse. The airplane has to collapse. Similarly, with the fuel of pious credits, one may ascend to the heavenly planets, and once the pious credits are exhausted, patatam vimanat, just like a plane crash, that soul will crash to this material world again. Again takes birth in some womb of some mother, and then again his struggle for existence continues. Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. So, Brahmananda is insignificant. If Brahmananda becomes insignificant, what to speak of the Ananda which is available in heavenly planets? That is so temporary. As long as fuel is there, that is there. Like that. So, he explains that bhakti is superior. Now, so far, he explained different people who approach Krishna. And now he says, he regrets for his way of approach. And finally he understood, what is the best way of approaching you? What is the best benediction that you can give us? Right? So he could understand the glory and supremacy of bhakti, and he could see that the process itself is glorious. The process itself is a source of happiness. Not that I follow this process, at the end I will get my material ambition fulfilled, then I will be happy. Not like that. The process itself has a lot of happiness. So, ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiduti. Not that we perform bhakti, the nine limbs of bhakti, and at the end we achieve certain result, or of even going back to Godhead, or getting some spiritual benediction or mystic powers or whatever. That's not the thing. The very fact that we are practicing devotional service itself is a benediction. Right? Dhruva Maharaj is able to realize that now. So he is sharing his heartfelt realizations in front of the Supreme Lord directly. And now he is saying, Bhavajjana katha shravanayana vasyat. He is having the bliss of seeing Krishna's form right in front of him, Vishnu's form. And now he is remembering and appreciating the bliss of hearing about this form from devotees. Right? So, even after attaining darshan of the Lord, such great devotees are aspiring for the association of devotees. And aspiring to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. This is much superior benediction. Right? Than even taking darshan of the Lord. Right? So in the association of Krishna's devotees, if one hears Krishna Katha, that is brilliant. That is the realization of great souls. So Prabhupada compares between yogis and bhaktas. Yogis generally meditate upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, but devotees meditate upon him. Along with that, they engage in service of the Lord also. Not just meditation, but also seva. So, he also compares the position of devotees with jnanis and karmis. The monist's misunderstanding is that when one gets relief from birth and death cycle, he merges into Supreme Brahman. That is their ecstasy. Karmis ecstasy is, let me go to the heavenly planets and enjoy high grade sense gratification there. That is their ecstasy. But both are condemned in this verse. Antakasi lulitat. Antakasi. Asi means sword. Antaka is that which can bring about destruction. End. So antaka asi. What is this? Time. Time factor brings about annihilation of everything. So kim tvantakasi lulitat. When the time, the sword of time slays this person, then he has to, that means when he is tenure in the heavenly planets is exhausted, he has to come to the material world again. Patatam vimana, just like plane crash. Like that. So, we'll recite this once again. Beautiful verse. Yanirvritishtanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat bhavajjana katha shravanena vasyat Sa Brahmanishva Mahimanyapi Nathama Bhut Kim Tvantakasi Lulitat Patatam Vimanat. Continuing the same theme, he offers his next prayer.
Bhaktim moho pravahatam tvayi me prasango. Bhuyadanantamahatam amalashayanam. Yenanja solvana puru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Neshe bhavadguna katham rutapana mattaha. Bhaktim moho pravahatam tvayi me prasango. Bhuyadanantamahatam amalashayanam. Yenanja solvana muru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Neshe bhavadguna katham rutapana mattaha.
Bhaktim muhu. Muhu means constantly, without any breaks. That is something like apratihata. So bhaktim muhu. Pravahatam tvayime prasango. Prasanga is association. Now next, his desire, he is expressing his desire. Earlier his desire was to get a planet, to get a position which is superior to Brahmaji. Now he is not bringing that discussion at all in his prayers. So there is a new discussion now. That is, bhaktim muhuhu pravahatam tvayime prasango. I want the association of your devotees who are constantly rendering bhakti. Bhakti muhuhu, they are constantly rendering bhakti. Pravahatam, just like a pravaha, just like a river constantly flows, their bhakti is also constantly flowing. I want association of such people. Tvayime prasango, give me that prasanga, that association of devotees. Same thing he also said. Punascha bhoyad bhagavatyanante ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu. Our Parikshit Maharaj says, if at all I have to take birth again, give me the prasanga. So give me the association of your devotees.
Yavatte maya sprishta bhramama eha karma bhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyano bhave bhave.
Prachetas are offering this prayer. So they say that yavatte maya sprishta, because of your maya, because of your illusory energy, bhramama eha karma bhi, because of our karma, let us transmigrate from one planet to another planet, one species to another species in this world. No problem.
But tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyano bhave bhave.
But please give us the benediction of association of your devotees. Bhavat prasanganam sangha. We want sangha of these people. So Prithumaras is having the same aspiration. I want the association of your devotees. Dhruvamaraj is asking for the same benediction. Parikshit Maharaj is asking for the same benediction. And who is this? Prachetas are asking for the same benediction. And Kunti Maharani asks like that. So like that, so many pure devotees in Bhagavatam, even after witnessing the Lord's form directly in front of them face to face, they are aspiring for the association of devotees. And their desire is to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees.
Right?
We can understand what is a worthy aspiration. What should we aspire for? We should aspire for the association of devotees, and we should aspire for hearing Krishna Katha in that association. That's the highest benediction that a human being can desire. According to the version of Srimad Bhagavatam, according to so many case studies, right? So different people may have different aspirations, but the most worthy aspiration has been established by Dhruva Maharaj in his prayers. By neglecting his previous aspiration, previous ambition. What was his previous aspiration? That is to get a position which is superior to Brahmaji also. In front of this newly developed desire for hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, his previous glorious desire, very ambitious desire of sitting in a position superior to Brahma, has become insignificant. So what is of the true value, we will realize by studying the characters of all these Bhagavatam episodes, like Dhruva, Prachetas, Prithu, Parikshit, Kunti Maharani, and many other people.
So, bhaktim muhuhu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad anantamahatam amalashayanam.
Bhuyad means let it happen. Let me get the association. Ananta Mahatam. Oh, unlimited Lord, you are Ananta Mahatam. I want the association of Mahat, great devotees. Amala Ashayanam. What is the quality of these Mahat devotees? They are Amala Ashaya. Their aspirations are Amala, with absolutely no contamination. Mala is contamination, Amala means no contamination. Purity. I want the association of such pure devotees. Amala Ashayanam. Now the Lord may say, oh, I am standing in front of you. Just in the previous verse you glorified me as Apavargya Saranam and Bhavapya Vimokshanam, etc., etc. You know that I can give you liberation and you are not asking me for liberation. You are just mentioning that, you are describing me that I can give liberation, but you are not seeking that liberation. And you are asking for association of devotees. Bhukti Muhu Pravahatam. What is your logic? How will you cross over this material existence? What are your plans for it? You are just asking for Krishna Katha and association. What is your plan for crossing over this material existence? He says in the next lines. Yena anjasa ulbana uru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Now he says, this bhava, this material existence, is like abdhi. Abdhi is what? Ocean. I understand that this material world is like an ocean. Not just ocean. Vyasanam bhavabdhim. This is an ocean full of dangers. He didn't stop there. Uru vyasanam bhavabdhim. It is an ocean full of dangers, and the dangers are very great. Very fierce dangers, not small danger. Uru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Then he adds one more prefix to it. Ulbanam uru vyasanam bhavabdhim. Ulbanam means very terrible. So the word bhava is described with all these additional words. Bhava abdhim, ulbanam, uru, vyasanam. So, ulbanam, uru, vyasanam, abdhi. In four ways, he described the extent of this material existence. Right? Described the fierce nature and unsurpassable nature of this material existence. But before all these words, he adds one more word. Anjasa. Anjasa means very easily. Neshe means I can cross over. So such kind of unsurpassable material ocean can easily be crossed over. I can easily cross over this material existence. How? Neshe bhavat guna kathamrta pana mattaha. Because I am intoxicated by drinking the nectar of your qualities. Bhavat guna, your qualities. Katha, your narrations and activities. Amrta, they are nectarian. Pana, by drinking that mattaha, I get intoxicated. So if I get the opportunity to hear your qualities and your activities, your pastimes, your names in the association of devotees, by getting intoxicated by that hearing, nectarian hearing, I can easily cross over this material existence. So your descriptions as bhavapya, vimokshanam, apavarga sharanam, etc., etc., I'm not impressed with those descriptions. I am more impressed with your qualities. I am more impressed with your activities, with your pastimes. So, these, I can get profuse access to your glories in the association of your devotees. So please give me this benediction of association of devotees and opportunity to hear about Krishna, about you in that association. So that is the most valuable benediction. Here the Lord is described as Ananta. Prachetas also described the Lord as Ananta. My dear Lord, you are Ananta. Because you are unlimited, we should ask you an unlimited benediction. Because if you go to a multi-millionaire, he is ready to give you anything. You can't go to 10 rupees millionaire. Just give me 10 rupees. I have some work. I need to purchase a pen. I need 10 rupees. You can't. That's foolishness on the part of the beggar to ask for 10 rupees going in front of a multimillionaire who can give. He can make you the owner of 10 buildings in within a moment. That's what he said. Billy Maharaj said, I can give you property with which you can live for 10 lifetimes. You are asking him for 3 steps? Too much. Right, it's a shame upon me, shame upon you also. You ask something better. So, when you go to a very great donor, you can't ask for a meager donation. Similarly, when you go to unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can give you unlimited benediction. You can't just ask, can you give me residence in heavenly planet? Can you give me impersonal liberation? They're all considered very worthless benedictions when you approach the Supreme Lord. Can you give me residence in Vaikuntha? No, not even that. Right? Give me the association of devotees and an opportunity to hear about you in that association. That is an unlimited benediction. Because Lord's pastimes are unlimited, Lord's qualities are unlimited, Krishna's activities are unlimited, Krishna's names are unlimited, and the devotees of the Lord who love him describe all those qualities in unlimited ways. Like that, it's an unlimited benediction to be able to hear Krishna Katha. But at this point, we may not be able to relate with it. My God, what kind of benediction? And you are comparing with all the exciting benediction and you're saying this is just, it seems too theoretical for us at this stage. But we need to trust the statements of Bhagavatam and Dhruva Maharaj and pray for that realization. At this point, we may not be able to understand this. If the class gets delayed by half an hour, we get little prasadam late over. But at our stage, we are in a different way of appreciating this. But at least theoretically, intellectually, we can appreciate what they are aspiring for. Dhruva Maharaj, he gave up his what he wanted, sitting in a throne superior to Brahmaji. He is asking, I want to hear about you in the association of devotees. Bhavat guna kathamrta pana mattaha. Because now you see, in this world, there are so many drunkards are there. Drunkards, their ecstasy is to drink and then faint. And when they get up again, drink and faint. Right? That is their ecstasy. Mattaha. And what is devotee's ecstasy? Bhavat guna kathamrta pana mattaha. I get intoxicated by hearing about your qualities and your pastimes and I faint in ecstasy. Then I get up. Please, one more. Fill the glass. One more. Bhavat guna kathamrta. I want one more bottle of your katha, your qualities, description of your qualities. Drink it, faint. Like that. That's how Bhagavatam begins with. And that's how Bhagavatam ends with also. Bhagavatam beginning, what is there? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukhamukha damritat drava samyatam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Drink the nectar of Bhagavatam. It's already nectarian. Sukhamukhat amritat drava samyatam. Because Sukadeva Goswami spoke it, the flavor of Bhagavatam has become all the more nectarian. That increases the flavor of Bhagavatam. So that Bhagavatam let me drink. Pibata Bhagavatam. Drink that. Rasam alayam. It's an abode of rasas. And the word alaya indicates the eighth symptom of this Ashtasattvika Vikaras. That is fainting in ecstasy. So by drinking this nectar of Krishna Katha Bhagavatam, one will faint in ecstasy. And muhur, again he will get up. Again he will drink. Pibata. Again he will faint. Alayam. Again muhur. So he pibata, alayam, muhu. Just put it in circle. Loop. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. Muhu means constantly, repeatedly keep drinking and fainting. Rasamalayam. Muhu raho rasika bhui bhavaka. No one can handle this. Right? Oh, a drunkard, a seasoned drunkard only can handle more and more bottles. Right? Someone who is very new to it, so he cannot handle it. Right? He will drink little bit and then he will get disgusted and then run away from the bar. But seasoned drunkards, when they enter the bar, that is ecstasy for them. Right? They just drink. They want more and more and more. New brand, bring new brand. Right? So, drink more glasses. They will faint, get up and then they will drink again. So, this bar of Bhagavatam, in this bar there are so many great souls like Prahlad Maharaj, like Dhruva Maharaj, like so many other great souls. Prahlad Maharaj says like this. What is that verse? Naiva dvijay paradurattya vaitarinyas tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Tadvirya gayana, when someone is singing about the glories of your prowess, mahamrita, that is like a greatest nectar, magna chittaha. My chitta gets intoxicated in that. My chitta gets absorbed in that. So, Prahlad is also saying like that. I get intoxicated by hearing your katha. And Dhruva is also saying like that. I get intoxicated by hearing your katha. And Bhagavatam is beginning like that only. Neshebha, that is that verse. Nigama kalpataror, galitam phalam. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho. Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Who can get intoxicated by hearing the glories of the Lord? Only Rasikas, only Bhuvi Bhavukas, only advanced transcendentalists, advanced devotees can handle it. Not everybody. So we need to get that ability to get intoxicated. Right? We can't stay high forever. There is one chapter, stay high forever. In Leelamrit, proper Leelamrit. That means you just drink and then always be in ecstasy. Right? In a different plane. So these people are staying high forever. They cannot come down. So for us to go high, we need to practice it. We need to practice to become a true drunkard of the nectar of Bhagavatam. Like that. And Bhagavatam ends like this. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam. Tadeva sokarnava soshanam gunam. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam. Although they are drinking the same nectar again and again, navam navam. It is always appearing year and year. Right? So that is the glory of Bhagavatam sound vibration. Yesterday I was discussing, Bhagavatam sound vibration is pleasing to the ears with its sound, pleasing to the heart with its meaning. Either we appreciate the meaning of the Bhagavatam verses or meter of the Bhagavatam verses, that's intoxicating. Right? Neshe bhavat guna kathamrita pana mattah. What does Kardama Muni say? In the third canto, he says, Lokamsa lokanu gatam pasumsya hitvashritaste charanata patram. Parasparam tvat gunavada sidhu piyusha niryapita deha dharmaha. Parasparam, when devotees come together and amongst themselves, one to one, they start discussing about your katha. Parasparam tad gunavada sidhu. That discussion amongst the devotees will act like intoxicant. You will act like nectar, sidhu, and piyusha, intoxicant also. So Bhagavatam has two effects, nectar and intoxicant. If you want to get intoxicated and faint, that's available. Even just to drink nectar, that is also fine. Both are same. So parasparam tad gunavada sidhu niryapita piyusha niryapita deha dharma. They can give up all the deha dharmas, the regular protocols of just maintaining one's body and other things. They'll just do the needful there, self-preservation, and then get intoxicated in this nectar of Bhagavatam. Nectar showers of Bhagavatam. Like that. Drunkards, they have no shame. They have no shame to enter a bar. They have no shame to drink again and again. They have no shame to come with that bottle on the streets and then faint on the streets. If on a materialistic plane, drunkards become so shamelessly intoxicated, on a spiritual plane, why devotees have to feel shame to get intoxicated? So in Prabhupada's movement, devotees can go on the streets also and then chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in front of everyone. Right? So many people, their colleagues may be sitting in pant shirts and then watching this, and this person in dhoti kurta jumping up and down. Right? So a drunkard becomes shameless. Similarly, a devotee also becomes not shameless, but very courageous in practicing devotional service, in drinking the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. We take examples from all these glorious personalities. Bhavad guna kathamrita prana mattaha. So that is the intoxicating effect of Krishna katha. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada says about the importance of association of devotees. Dhruva Maharaj wanted the association of pure devotees, without which transcendental devotional service cannot be complete or relishable. Bhakti is best relishable. Bhagavatam is best relished in the association of devotees. We therefore establish DISKCON. So, Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido Bhavat Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Hrit Karana Rasat Katha Bhavanti. What is the next line? I forgot. Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Hrit Karana Rasayana Katha Tad Joshanagasa Vavarga Varmani Shraddha Bhakti Shakta Ratir Bhakti Anukramishyati. So one can pass through the stages of devotional service and attain prema, beginning with hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. If one hears about Krishna in the association of devotees, that will eventually lead him to the stage of love of Godhead also, prema also, like that. So one should get addicted to hearing, addicted to the association of the devotees. In Putumara section, one more verse comes. We recited in our Ratnamala also, this is just no recitation. So that is, we should mold one's life in such a way that one cannot stay without hearing the glories of the Lord. Arthendriya Rama Sagoshti Trishnaya Tatsammatanam Aparigrahinacha Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vina Harer Guna Piyusha Panat. Without drinking the piyusha, the nectar or the intoxicant of Krishna Katha, one cannot exist only. That's how one should mold one's life. So that is the recommendation in Purja Maharaj's episode. Like the Bhagavatam is repeatedly recommending to take shelter of this Krishna Katha. Intoxication will come later, first practice. Right? Only very experienced and senior drunkards can get intoxicated and then ask for more and more. But neophyte practitioners, they will have to struggle in the beginning. Right? So just to drink it, it will become little uncomfortable and austere in the beginning. But once they get used to it, they can ask for more. So Bhagavatam Sound Operation is like that. So I think most of the purport points we already discussed. And at the end, Prabhupada writes, devotional service under regulative principles is like unripe mango. And when we come to the spontaneous level, it will become like ripe mango, which becomes more relishable. Both are mangoes only. It is possible to mature in devotional service only in the association of devotees. So how can the unripe mango become mango, ripe mango, which becomes sweet in the association of devotees? Like that. 12th verse. He further elaborates on the glories of association of devotees.
Tena smarancha titaram priyamishamartyam ye chanvadah suta suhrud grihavitta dharah ye tabjanabha bhavadiya padaravinda saugandhya lubdha hridayeshu krita prasangah.
Read the translation.
O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after their lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to the material body or in bodily relationship, to offspring, friends, home, wealth and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them.
Tena smaranti atitaram priyamisha martyam.
So, he is elaborating on the association of devotees. And the glory of associating with devotees is that one who takes the association of devotees whose hearts have smelled the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. That is, sugandha, saugandhya labdha hridayeshu krita prasangaha. Saugandha labdha hridayeshu. Their hearts have acquired the wealth of this fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Means they have become so attached to Krishna. Bhavadiya padaravinda saugandhya. Right? So, abjanabha. So, if we take shelter of those such people, then tena smaranti, such a person will not remember what? His material body, offspring, friend, family, home, wealth, relatives, etc. Right? So, other things, sutta, suhrit, griha, vitta, dara, all this household paraphernalia and material, external paraphernalia will become irrelevant to such a person if one takes the association of pure devotees. He may do the needful in his relationship with all of them, but he is not attached on a material plane to all of them. Because one has a responsibility as a member of this society, right? Member of a family, member of an ashram or whatever. He is a part of a bigger group, he has a responsibility. So one has to fulfill those responsibilities. But being responsible does not mean developing undue attachment. And being detached doesn't mean being irresponsible. So detachment is not irresponsibility, responsibility is not attachment. We should take responsibility with detachment. That's what is recommended here. In the fifth canto, Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings, third verse also says the same thing. So great devotees, they take care of all their duties in this world as a family member or as whatever, as a king or as a member in the society, they will take care of all their responsibilities, but they are not attached to all of them, attached to those facilities. Their main focus, primary focus is devotional service. So Prabhupada differentiates between yogis and devotees here. Yogis are sometimes attached to the body. They try for advancement in spiritual consciousness by bodily gymnastics. They are not interested in bhakti. They regulate breathing process, etc. But devotees enjoy the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing and chanting and glorifying. They are not attached to their bodies. Like the Prabhupada gives a lot of differentiation. So bhakti dissolves the subtle body of living entity without separate effort. Means the mental concoctions. Bodily conceptions of two levels. One is gross bodily conception of identifying oneself with this material body made of earth, water, fire or ether. And second is subtle bodily conception by which one identifies oneself with mental concoctions, intellectual convictions, egoistic conceptions, too much attachment to the subtle body. So one will give up that also and focus on the self. Self-realization means to be indifferent to the needs and mood swings of the gross and subtle bodies and focusing on the self and supreme self. That is self-realization. Like that. So destruction of samsara for such a person becomes a secondary effect of bhakti. In the previous verse he said, Neshe bhavat guna kathamrita panamattaha. Previous line is, Yenanja solbana murum vyasanam bhavadhim. Crossing over this material existence, liberation from this material cosmos becomes an insignificant secondary byproduct of this glorious process of bhakti. That is not my priority, he says. My priority is to get the association of your devotees and to hear Krishna Katha in that association. Thank you all very much. It's 10 o'clock.